You have your Bibles with you, you want to follow along. We're going to be in Genesis 37 this morning, book of Genesis, chapter 37. We're going to be looking at the story of Joseph for the next couple weeks. If you're visiting with us, I'd like to just say what's already been said by so many people, but just welcome, and we're so glad that you are here with us this morning. I want to, before we begin, take a moment and just thank Bert for stepping in last week. I was preaching over at Anderson in a gospel meeting. They had a gospel meeting speaker back out for some health reasons, I think with his wife. And so they were quickly trying to call some area preachers and trying to fill some spots throughout the week. And so I was over there preaching on Sunday morning, and I'd like to thank Bert for the wonderful job he did. And every time I go away, I'm always told that whoever preaches is going to take my job. And so I'm just going to stop going away because everyone seems to be doing such a better job at my job than myself. So, but on that same note, in 2 weeks, I'm going away again. And so we'll see if I have a job when I get back. But I think Jonathan Barksdale will be speaking to us. Talk to him this morning. In a couple weeks, I'll be in Portland, Oregon, doing a gospel meeting there. And so you'll have a chance to hear Jonathan speak on that morning. So we're looking forward to that. I'd like to also echo what Wayne said. Bobby's fault on the bulletin. I don't know who does the bulletin, but it's all Bobby's fault. And no, I'm kidding. The first thing I do Monday morning is I start this next week's bulletin. So tomorrow morning I'll come in the office and I'll start next Sunday's bulletin. And the first thing I do is I change all the dates to make sure I have the dates right. What I did do at the end of the week is I proofread everything to make sure that everything, and I never catch everything, but I proofread to make sure everything's correct. Well, when I was proofreading, the dates were right, but just the information under the dates were never changed. And so in my mind, everything was right because the dates were right. And so that's my fault. I apologize, but we'll stick with Wayne's story and blame it on Bobby. This morning, we're going to start a series, and we'll see if I can. I don't know how to turn this screen on, so we'll just leave it. We're going to start a series of two lessons, and you see the title on the screen there, From Dream to Destiny. We're going to look at the story of Joseph, arguably one of my favorite stories. I told the people at the manor this morning, it's my favorite story because growing up, my middle name is Joseph. And so anytime you can hear your name in the Bible was a special time. Kevin is not found in the Bible, and so the next best thing was my middle name, Joseph. But the more I started to study and as I grew and really understood the lessons from the life of Joseph, you really understand some things about him that just make him at least my favorite story and one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he takes up the last third of the book of Genesis, because there's just so much in the life of Joseph that not only sets up the rest of the story of the Bible, but just some principles that we can learn and take with us. You know, there's a story of a man named Adam Greenberg. On July 9th, 2005, some of you may know this name if you're a sports fan, but Adam's dream finally came true. See, he had always dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player. And he had worked his way up through the minor leagues, and on July 9th, he finally got his opportunity to play for the Chicago Cubs. But on his very first pitch for the Chicago Cubs, he stepped into the batter's box, and as he's watching the very first pitch coming, it comes straight for his head, and as he turns out of the way, it hits him right in the back of the head, and he drops to the ground. In one pitch, his dream was shattered because that 92-mile-an-hour fastball to the back of his head gave him not only a concussion, but a compound skull fracture that he would deal with, he's still dealing with today. He said in one quote that just bending over to tie his shoe would give him a headache for hours. He would try to work his way up through the minor leagues, but really, again, after the injury, but really, his baseball career was over on one pitch. You know, it's amazing that to think about it. Every single one of us in this room, we have dreams. We have hopes and expectations of what this life will be like. We all have a vision of what we think our future is going to look like. We'll spend our high school years thinking about a career, thinking about a college that we want to go to, and we start taking the necessary courses at college and the necessary steps to become whatever it is we want to be in this life. We tell our kids, you can do whatever you want to do in this life. You can be whatever you want to be. Landon has noticed the hay bales on the side of the road, I saw his eyes just pop up at me because that's the big thing in our car rides right now. He sees the hay bales, and he's wanting to know how they're made. Well, just this morning, he said, I want to drive the tractor that makes those. Can I do that? And I said, you can be whatever you want to be, right? If he wants to drive the tractor that makes the hay bales, I'm all for it. And that's what we teach our kids. Dream. Do whatever you want to do. Be whatever you want to be. Obviously, within reason and within, I guess, morality. But we tell our kids that. Dream. And dream big. And have plans. Some people plan to get married and have children by a certain age. Others plan financially to make sure that they'll be set up for success in retirement. However, I think there's many of us in this room that understand one thing that life will teach us, and that is life never goes according to plan. If you've ever vacationed with toddlers, you've learned that lesson, probably the hard way. But on a more serious note, life throws curveballs that we never see coming. Life throws us things that we'll never expect. Maybe you had a plan for your life. Maybe if you're looking back on when you started making your plans, maybe in your high school, college, or young adult years, maybe you had a plan for your life. But maybe because of injury or chronic pain or sickness, you had to stop living your dream. You had to start living in a different reality. Maybe you had a dream on how your life would go. Maybe you've always wanted a spouse, but never found one. Maybe you've always wanted kids, but unable to have them. Maybe you thought that you would have years with a loved one, but you had to bury a mother, a father, a spouse, or a child too soon. Here's one thing I know about dreams. They can come crashing down in just a moment's time. It's almost like when you're sleeping. All of us have experienced this. When you're sleeping and you're dreaming, and it's a good dream, and then all of a sudden you wake up and realize that none of it was real at all, and you wish more than anything you could fall right back asleep and go back to that dream because it was such a good one. But as hard as you try, you just can't seem to get back into it. Plans fail and fall through. And life has a way of knocking each one of us down and reminding us that we are not in charge. But what do we do when our dreams don't become our reality? How do we respond when life happens? What happens when our plans, everything we have dreamed of, come crashing down around us? You know, that's the story we see with Joseph. This whole quarter we have looked at raising the standard in our leadership. And we have looked at different ways how leaders lead. They lead with a vision. They lead by example. And as we conclude over the next 2 weeks, we are moving into God's standard for the home. And these lessons on leadership are not to be taken lightly. And what we've tried to do is not focus solely on the leadership in the church, because that's what happens so often when you talk about leadership in a church setting. We only talk about the shepherds. Now, we've made some points about shepherds, but at the same time, as we move into our next phase of our plan of raising the standard, you'll see that leadership is just as important in the home when it comes to fathers. Most importantly, fathers as the head of the house, but husbands, the spouses, the mothers raising children, all these leadership principles will come into play. And they're not to be taken lightly. And what one thing we see about Joseph is as he is in these darkest times, as his dreams come crashing down, that's when we truly begin to see him emerge as a leader. We truly begin to see Joseph start to pick up the pieces of his life. There's things that he does throughout his story, throughout these chapters in Genesis, that each one of us can, as we read, we can take with us and see that he went from an ornery, selfish, prideful teenager to one of the greatest leaders that we see in all of Scripture. And he oftentimes gets left out of the leadership group. We think of Moses and we think of Elijah, and we think of all these great leaders like David that God sent, and we just forget about Joseph. But Joseph, to me, is one of the more relatable characters in all of Scripture, because we've all had dreams come crashing down. And we've all had to pick up the pieces. And maybe your dream is crashing down around you right now and you don't know how to pick up the pieces. Well, Joseph can teach us how. And he can teach us how to lead and lead people to God and lead ourselves to God in the process. What was Joseph's dream? Let's continue here with the story of Joseph. As we start here in Genesis chapter 7, Joseph had a dream for his life. Now, it came in the form of literal dreams, right? Let's not forget about that. But that's how God spoke to people in this time period, that Joseph had some literal dreams on how his life would go. And let's read those verses. In Genesis chapter 37, we'll start reading in verse 5. We read before verse 5 that we know that Joseph was the favorite of his father. He was given a coat of many colors. His brothers were jealous of him. They hated him, it says in verse 4. But here in verse 5, it says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. And then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then in verse 9, he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." Now, a few things I want to point out as we go throughout this lesson. One thing is, his brothers already hated him. He was the favorite. He was the spoiled child. He received the coat of many colors. That was an honor. It distinguished himself amongst the brothers. Now, some people have argued that Joseph was prideful. He was arrogant, maybe rubbed it in his brother's face a little, and they will argue that point, because one of the first things he says to his brothers after he has a dream, it says in verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Almost in an arrogant like manner, that hey, I had a dream. It's almost as if he knew there was something special about this dream. Maybe he knew God was trying to speak to him. And it almost sounds like he went to his brother saying, "Listen, God's talking to me, and I had this wonderful dream." He hadn't even told him the dream yet. And it says that they hated him even more. And then the next verse, he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed." Now he's taking it a step further. He says, we were out there binding our wheat, our harvest. And my sheaf stood up tall. And all of yours gathered around it and started bowing down to it. I mean, he's making no qualms about what this dream meant. He says, we were out there. You and I, we were all out there. Mine stood up tall. Yours all bowed down. The text says they hated him even more because of that. He says, but hold on, I had another dream. I had another dream. And he says that this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. It's almost as if saying, everyone, the whole universe is going to bow down to me. And they, of course, they all took it, even his father. Says, are we really going to, are you talking to me and your mother and your brothers, your 11 brothers? We're all going to bow down to you? Really? Joseph had literal dreams. Now, we know the end of the story, and we'll get there next week. Joseph didn't know the end of the story at this time. I can only imagine. Now, some of this is speculation, but imagine with me. You are your father's favorite child in a prominent family in the land. They were well known. They were a big family. Had a lot of possessions. We read about that later in the book of Genesis. How many possessions and how many people in their household traveled to Egypt once his brothers found out who Joseph was. This is a prominent family, well-known family, wealthy family. And you were the favorite in that family. And now you're having dreams about how they're all going to bow down to you. And there's something special about these dreams. You have a feeling. Can you imagine what Joseph was dreaming about his life? He's going to be someone special. He's going to make it. All of his brothers, let's not forget where he falls in line. He's number 11 out of 12. He's the runt of the litter besides Benjamin. He's going to make it. And he's going to make it big. You could see the wheels starting to turn in Joseph's mind. Joseph perceived this to be his future. This is what his life would entail. And as I've already mentioned, some say Joseph suffered from selfishness or arrogance, being pious. Some say that he created the division in his family. And I think you can make the case for some of those arguments. At this point in life, he was a 17-year-old teenager. And you start being told with these dreams that people are going to bow down to you. Of course, maybe some arrogance is going to come in. Some pride is going to come in. But what starts to happen? This starts the process of taking an immature 17-year-old and making him into one of the greatest leaders the Bible has ever seen. See, regardless of his faults, Joseph had a dream and a vision of what he expected his future to be. That's what he expected. That's what he was being told through the dreams. Every sign was pointing towards what his life would be like. But what we know from the story, now Joseph didn't know this, but what we know is his destiny was very different. And before we move on, I want to look at this word destiny. See, the word destiny really just means what happens in the future. Or the things someone will experience in the future. Now Hollywood, see, when we use that word destiny, we think of uncontrollable events that are bound to happen. Hollywood has kind of taken the word destiny and they've kind of made it into something it isn't. You'll hear this word a lot in movies and TV shows. It's your destiny to do this, that you were meant to do this. Or every event in your life has led you to this point because that's what God wanted. You'll hear that a lot. That's a destiny. It's uncontrollable. What happens, happens. But really, the word destiny in just its simplest form is what will happen in the future. So Joseph had a dream. And Joseph had a vision of how his life would go. But his destiny, what happened in the future, was very, very different. Well, what actually happened? Well, we know the story, and let's just quickly, we're not going to read it just for sake of time here, but we know one thing happened. He was thrown in a pit. And that's saying it lightly. What really happened was his brothers hated him so much, they betrayed him, they wanted to kill him, and they threw him in a pit. And while they were still contemplating whether or not to kill him, remember it was Reuben that stepped in and said, well, hold on a second, that might be a little too much. He wasn't just thrown into a pit. He was this close to death by the hands of his own brothers, the ones that were supposed to bow down to him in two of his dreams. And instead of killing him while he was in that pit, they decided to fake his death. They ripped off his coat of many colors. They tore it up, put blood on it, told his father that he was killed by a wild animal, and then he was sold to wanderers, to travelers, to the Ishmaelites. How would you... Just think about your dream here now for a moment. You went from telling your brothers, you're going to bow down to me, and now those same brothers that are supposed to bow down to you, they're selling you as a slave. What? It's very different than the dreams that Joseph had for his life. He wasn't just sold to these people, he was then sold again to Potiphar's house in Egypt. But it was while in Potiphar's house, remember, that as we'll get to in just a moment, that he worked hard. He made a name for himself. He was risen to second in command over all the house. And said, in fact, one of the verses we'll read says that Potiphar knew nothing more than the bread he was eating because Joseph took care of everything. And as soon as things were looking up for Joseph and maybe his dream would become a reality again, it was Potiphar's wife who took a keen liking to Joseph, wanted to sleep with him. He didn't want to, so Joseph was accused of rape, and not just accused of rape, he was thrown in prison. I mean, you look at the life that Joseph actually led. Very different than the dreams he had, than the life he expected, and the life that he wanted. And let's not forget, while he was in prison, he finally gets another way out. Remember, he's now second in command over the whole prison. And when the king's servants came in and he interpreted the king's servants' dreams, he says, wait, don't forget about me when you go tell the king what I've told you. Oh, no, Joseph, we won't forget about you. If all this comes true, how can we forget about you? Let's not forget, he was forgotten about for 2 years. Sitting in that prison. Joseph lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his home. He went from being the favorite son to a slave. He had a plan for his life, but his dreams were suddenly dashed by forces that were out of his control. And this was not the life that Joseph had dreamed of. There's a quote that says, like so many people today, the life Joseph planned did not pan out. His vision of a bright future was dashed by the reality of a dark and lonely life. And unfortunately, so many of us have probably experienced that from time to time. The future we planned is not the future that we had. Instead, we're met with a dark, lonely life that this world has to offer. But I think, and again, we know the end of the story. So it's easy for us to look at the end of the story. Joseph made it. Joseph, his destiny, we know, does not stop on this slide. And again, we'll talk about that next week. But let's not forget, Joseph had no idea what was going on. He didn't know that in some odd years that he would be second in command over the greatest power in the whole world. But what happened was, and what track is, Joseph made some decisions. Joseph made some decisions along the way. Now I want us to pay attention, because this is where the application comes in for us. We all have to make a decision in life. Each and every day, we choose certain things. And when our dreams don't become the reality that we expect, we all have a decision to choose happiness, even when our dreams don't come true. I understand that's easier said than done. And I'm not saying that every day is going to be easy, but I do believe this is what Joseph decided to do. We're going to have bad days. And I'm not saying that Joseph didn't question things along the way. But I am saying that in these examples that I see in Scripture, I see Joseph make several decisions that eventually led to his happiness and his destiny becoming true. We're going to turn back to Genesis in just a moment, but I want us to keep one verse in mind, and it's not going to appear on the screen because I want us to all read it together. And that's in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to read these verses because every point that's going to come to the screen here in just a moment can be seen in these few verses. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says this: "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, when I look at Joseph, I see Joseph in almost every single one of these words here in this passage. Paul's telling the Colossians there that they need to become a new man. They need to become something different. There needs to be a change. And that takes being holy. That takes putting on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. He goes on to say all these things about forgiveness and having the heart of peace that God has put in you. And forgiving one another and being thankful, he will say in verse 15. And I can only imagine, as Joseph was going throughout his life, he's having to learn all these things in some of the most difficult situations. But let me show you what I mean here. I think Joseph decided three things as he was going through all those dark things that happened to him that made him better on the other side. Not saying that his days were easy and that his happiness came easy, but I'm saying that he made choices and decisions that led to his happiness. And one of them, the first one is, he decided to give his best. And think about this for a minute. It's amazing to me that wherever he went, he quickly rose through the ranks. I'm going to read to you a few verses in chapter 39. And I want you to listen to how Joseph just rose through the ranks here. In verse 30, or chapter 39, starting in verse 2, as he enters to the house of Potiphar, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." Now that goes on to the story of Potiphar's wife there, right? But notice what he says here. As soon as Joseph entered the house, Potiphar noticed there was something different about Joseph. There was something about Joseph that stood out. This was arguably a very important, not arguably, but this was a very important man. But he arguably had probably many, many servants in his house. But yet Joseph stood out. And it wasn't just that Joseph stood out, but he noticed that everything Joseph did, he was prospering in it. Some people have made the argument, and I don't see this, is that it wasn't as much Joseph as it was just the Lord. They said the text says the Lord was making him prosper, and I agree with that. But I don't think Joseph was just sitting around and God was just giving Joseph everything as Joseph just sat there. In fact, it says that Joseph served him in verse 4. Joseph served Potiphar. He worked, and he worked hard. He was a slave. He was a servant. Yes, the Lord was with Joseph, but for a slave and a prisoner to be put in charge of the whole house and the whole prison, as we see later on in that chapter, in verses 20 to 23, the same thing happened. It says, as soon as he entered the prison in verse 20 of that same chapter, the master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He walks in as a slave and he's given pretty much the keys to the house. Did you notice the verse we read a few moments ago? It said, Potiphar didn't know anything he had except the bread he was eating. Everything else was under Joseph's control. Man, he was just sold as a slave. You're giving your slave the keys to the house? The keys to the kingdom, so to speak? That didn't happen by chance. Joseph gave his best in what he did. Even when he's in prison, he still made the same decision. He's going to give his best. And it was the prisoner. Did you notice what the verse said? That he put all the prisoners who were in the prison under the hand of Joseph? He basically said, you prisoner are in charge of all the other prisoners. That is anarchy waiting to happen. But there was something different about Joseph. I think that's because he made the decision from the very beginning. I don't know if it was something his father taught him. I don't know if it's something that God gave him and just his innate personality. But I believe Joseph made a decision that no matter what, he would always give his best. What did we read in the book of Colossians, chapter 3? Whatever you do, in verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Sometimes we need to remember that we are working for the Lord. Even in the dark days, even in the dark times, even when reality is coming crashing down on top of us, God can be glorified. And that's exactly what we see Joseph. Notice that the people, the prisoner and Potiphar, or the keeper of the prisoners and Potiphar, they were able to see the Lord blessing Joseph. Joseph was able to do wonderful things because he continued to work. He continued to give his best. And we need to understand that even in our darkest times, God can be glorified when we give our best. In whatever we do, in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even when we're feeling depressed, we can give God our best. Even when things don't go our way, we can give God our best. We can treat people with the respect and dignity they deserve. We can be kind to people, as we read about in Colossians chapter 2. It doesn't cost anything in this world to show kindness and tender mercies and humility and meekness and long-suffering, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, and to love one another. It doesn't cost anything in this world to do those things. And that's what Paul was telling the church, the Colossians there, in the church there. He was saying, do these things. So that whatever you do, you're doing it in the name of the Lord. But Joseph also decided to keep his integrity through this whole ordeal. Listen, I can only imagine what it was like to be at the bottom of the pit. Hearing your brothers on the outside discussing about killing you. I can only imagine what it was like looking your brothers in the face as they pulled you up out of the pit. As you watched money transfer hands, knowing that that money was going to your brothers and you were going to go for a little trip. I can't imagine what it was like being sold into slavery. I can't imagine what it was like going from your father's favorite to being a slave. I can't imagine what it was like going to prison for something that you didn't do. And I can't imagine what it was like having your chance at freedom and for 2 years sitting there wondering when that slave was going to remember you or that servant was going to remember you, but forgot. But yet, through the whole process, through the whole thing, Joseph never wavered on who he was or what he had been taught. The Lord was still there with him. The Lord was blessing him. I don't know how Joseph got through some of those days. I don't know if Joseph knew the Lord was with him. I don't know if he ever lost sight of the dream. I don't know if those dreams that he had so back when, if he knew they were from God and he knew that if he just trusted in God, they would become a reality someday. I don't know what Joseph was feeling in a lot of these times, but I know how I would feel being forgotten about. I know how I would feel in some of those situations, and I would question things. And I would want to give up after every single one of these to say, my dream has been dashed. It's come crashing down around me. There's no hope at any of this. I can only imagine how he got through some of those days in the prison. But when I hear these words in Colossians, when it says that we admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, I often wonder and picture Joseph sitting there in shackles, singing to God. Now, I don't know. It's just a picture I have in my mind, but I do know that's what the New Testament apostles did. That when they were thrown in prison, they were singing. How did they keep their good attitude? They remembered God. They kept their integrity. They remembered who they were. He had a chance to sleep with a powerful woman, Potiphar's wife. I don't think that's something to be taken lightly. And yet he chose to remain pure. You know, so oftentimes when darkness comes and when those days come where we don't expect them and we see our life kind of spiraling out of control, that's most often when people will decide to go ahead and start giving in to temptations here and there. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, well, if my life is not going to go the way I thought, I might as well, and then fill in the blank. I might as well go start drinking with friends or with coworkers. I might as well start doing this. I might as well. And what happens is they start spiraling out of control. And I wouldn't have blamed Joseph one bit if when he saw his life falling down around him, if he said, you know what, my brothers don't like me. They wanted to kill me. They sold me. I'm a slave, or now I'm a prisoner. I might as well forget about God and the dream he had for me. forget about everything I've ever been taught. Isn't that what Job's wife wanted him to do? Job, it's time to just curse God and die. In other words, you might as well just go ahead and curse God. Look, your life is out of control, Job. Just curse God, die. Let's be done with it. And that is so many people's attitude in life when things get hard or when things don't go our way. But Joseph decided to keep the integrity that he had. And I think because he made one decision overall that led to all this, he decided to honor God. He decided in all things he was going to honor God in his actions. Everything I think Joseph did was to honor God. The Lord was with him, we've read several times. There was something about Joseph that other people saw. The text says when they saw that the Lord was with him, that tells me that there was something different about Joseph's attitude, about the way he carried himself, maybe about how he spoke, about how he treated others. And again, I go back to Colossians 3, and when I think of Joseph, I think of someone who was kind and humble and meek and long-suffering. He wanted to help other people. He had a servant's heart. And it was in those darkest days that what we see is we see that immature 17-year-old kid start to really choose and decide to live the life God has given him. You know, the Lord is with each and every one of us. Here's the question. When I walk into a group of friends, when I walk into this church, when I walk into the office, when I walk into the classroom, whatever it is, when I type something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, when I'm texting a friend, maybe from high school, can they see that the Lord is with me? And if there is any doubt in their mind, or if my words and my actions and my deeds and my thoughts or whatever it is, if they make someone question if the Lord is with me, then it's no one's fault but my own. Now we sing a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to be careful how I say this, but I think most people, when we sing that song, it's one of the most hypocritical things we can sing. Because those of us, myself included, that sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, but yet throughout the week, I can speak a certain way, do certain things that maybe I wouldn't want some other people seeing and speaking or whatever it is. If we've really decided to follow Jesus, I'm going to go back and read some of these verses in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We want to be perfect? Put on love. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, we know the end of Joseph's story. And next week, we're going to look at that great statement that he said to his brothers. God meant this for good. But when we're out in the world, can we say that we've made these decisions? I've decided to follow Christ. Most of us in here have made that decision. But have I decided to give Christ my best? Have I decided each and every day, no matter how dark or how bright the day is, I'm going to give God my best? I'm not saying life's going to be easy, because we all know it isn't. But He will get my best. Can I say that I have decided I'm going to keep my integrity? It doesn't matter what this life throws at me. I'm going to continue to live my life for Christ. I'm going to clothe myself with all of those things, with kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. I'm going to treat other people the way they deserve to be treated. Why? Because God loved them, so I will love them. I'm going to put value on other people because God has put value on them. Have we decided to honor God in every single aspect of our life? When whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was in those years, those dark years of Joseph's life and those dark times when he was learning what it meant to be a true spiritual leader. And times are not always good. Visions and dreams that we have for ourselves, they're not always going to work out. But look at Joseph. He made a decision to serve God and lead with God's vision in mind. What we know from the rest of the story is his dream became his destiny. Sometimes dreams don't go according to plan. Remember Adam Greenberg, I told you about at the very beginning, took that fastball off the back of his head? His dream was dashed after one pitch in the major leagues. In 2012, 7 years after he had been hit and left baseball, a petition got started among some of his fans to give him one more at-bat in the major leagues. And thousands of people from all over the country were signing this online petition saying, give Adam Greenberg one more chance to step into the batter's box and not get hit by the ball. Because that wasn't his fault. People felt so bad for him. So in 2012, he was signed by the Miami Marlins on a one-day contract. I think they paid him something like $2,500, which he donated to a charity. But it was under the understanding that the Miami Marlins would give him one at-bat. And so, in the bottom of the sixth inning, as he was walking up to the plate, Aerosmith's Dream On came on the loudspeakers. You know what he did in that one at-bat? Struck out. He struck out. And I think it was three pitches. It was two more than he got the first time. He was quoted as saying after the game, he was asked about the experience. And all he was able to say was, it was magical. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on the dream that God has for you. God's dream is that you will spend eternity with Him. There's sometimes we do things that might not be pleasing to God. And there's sometimes where we think our dream is over. We think that we should just give up. But don't give up on your dream. I often wonder what would happen to Joseph if he were to give up. He might have just rotted away in a jail cell. But at the end of his whole life, he was able to see that God was working on his plan, on his dream. And his dream became his destiny. What's your dream? We dream of so many things. But if your dream is to be in heaven, there's only one way to get there. Jesus says that's through Him. There's only one way to see the Father, and that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means giving your life to Him in the waters of baptism, putting that old self to death, and rising up in newness of life. Make that your dream, and see what your destiny will become. If we can do that for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.